Finally, related to the handbook, let me point out that the handbook does specify that children with dyslexia who need specially designed instruction, and that's the term of art coming from IDEA, that those children would be eligible for special education services. But goes on, the handbook then goes on to say that there may be circumstances where children just need something they're calling standard protocol dyslexia instruction. And the handbook seems to make a distinction between specially designed instruction and standard protocol dyslexia instruction. So let me distinguish those two concepts quickly. Specially designed instruction is adapting as appropriate the needs of an to meet the needs of an eligible child, look at adapting the content, methodology, or delivery of instruction to that student. That's specially designed instruction. That's special education. It seems to be sort of the issue of controversy in terms of whether or not that standard protocol dyslexia instruction would constitute specially designed instruction. Within the handbook itself, TEA hedges just a bit. They tend to take a middle ground and say that specially designed instruction could include the services offered in an IEP, and they say that it differs from standard protocol dyslexia instruction in that an IEP or specially designed instruction is somehow more individualized or more specialized to meet the needs of a student with a disability. Now, that concept of being more specialized or more individualized, I don't know how that fits within the definition of specially designed instruction. It certainly seems that when we looked at that definition of specially designed instruction, it's not qualifying it in any way to say a certain degree of modification or a certain degree of content change. And so I don't know that the agency's distinction here really makes a great deal of sense. And I will tell you that the U.S. Department of Education and OSERS in particular wrote this letter to Justin Porter back in November of 2021. And OSERS had reviewed the handbook at that time, and OSERS also took the position that this distinction that the agency was making in the handbook between specially designed instruction and standard protocol dyslexia instruction is maybe a false distinction. And so it certainly seems that the sort of takeaway here from that conversation is that if a student is determined to have the characteristics of dyslexia, and through that ARD committee process, the ARD committee determines that that child needs standard protocol dyslexia instruction, it's likely the case that that is sufficient to establish special education eligibility. That, again, is a little different from the way the handbook concludes the flowchart. The flowchart in the handbook takes us all the way to the end of the eligibility discussion and suggests that for kids who just need standard protocol dyslexia instruction, they might be eligible for 504 rather than special education. But it seems that based on this guidance from OSERS, or this letter from OSERS, and the plain definition of specially designed instruction, that this is going to be a source of probably some litigation going forward as parents argue that their children should be served through special education if they need dyslexia intervention at all. So that's one thing I'm cautioning clients about is to really, when evaluating students for special education and then going to ARD, if ultimately the committee concludes the student needs dyslexia interventions, I think that's sufficient to establish special education eligibility at that point. Beyond talking about dyslexia, I also wanted to visit with you quickly about child find and long COVID. That concept of long COVID, I think we're all just becoming familiar with it. That's really that brain fog, the fatigue, the memory problems, the long-term health issues associated with a COVID infection. And the OCR and OSERS have both taken the position that long COVID may be the basis of a student requiring additional supports under IDEA or under Section 504. As part of that whole conversation from OSERS about what to expect now that we have coming out of the COVID experience, what to expect, OSERS reminds school districts to review their child find procedures and make sure that their child find procedures are sufficiently robust, given that we've had so many children leave the public schools. And so the kind of the key takeaway here from that initial guidance from OSERS over this, or more recent guidance from OSERS over the summer, is that we probably need to go back and revisit child find procedures to make sure that districts have in place mechanisms to locate students who are no longer attending school. We know in talking to school districts, that's one of the big concerns they have, is that we've lost a number of children. We're having difficulty accessing them and communicating with their families. And so OSERS is reminding us of this child find obligation related to that issue. Related to long COVID, OSERS simply makes the point that a student could be eligible for special education as having an other health impairment as a result of a diagnosis of long COVID, and demonstrating symptoms of long COVID. And so we want to be cautious in looking at whether or not a long COVID symptoms could support eligibility under IDEA or under Section 504. How would that look under IDEA? We know that to be eligible for special education as a student with an other health impairment, the ARD committee would determine that a student has limited strength, vitality, or alertness due to a chronic health condition that adversely affects their educational performance. That's that OHI eligibility standard. So what do we need to be attentive to here? We need to be attentive to students who are struggling academically as a result of those long COVID symptoms. So I think we've got to have clients who are attentive to excessive health or medical absences, thinking about declining grades, incomplete assignments, and then also those interpersonal problems that we may be seeing at school. I am hearing more and more from school districts about how difficult behaviors are to manage over the last few months compared to behavior management prior to COVID. It seems that everybody's lost sort of their sense of what's appropriate for school and what's not. And so I think this will be interesting to know that OSERS is identifying some of those anxiety and depression symptoms as being characteristic of long COVID. I certainly can anticipate families arguing that behaviors that students exhibit may be more related to long COVID and may be supportive of that OHI special education eligibility.